हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् विद्विषावहै ओम् शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। Seeing the 25th verse we have seen already. Asad brahmeti chedveda swayameva bhavedasat atosya mabhodvedyatvam swasattvam tvabhyupeyatam. So here, through Shravanam and through the methods of unfoldment in the Shastram, we do arrive at the reality, obtaining as our own real nature. The only truth of everything is always available in one's own mind as one's own self. As a very swarupam of I. And just because the reality, this truth is not available for objectification, not available for experience, being the very swarupam of everything, if at all thoughtlessly a person, anybody denies the existence of Brahma, and such a person actually denies one's own existence. It is like saying, I am not here. To say, you are not here, you must be there. Isn't it? So, asad brahma iti veda chet. And if a person says there is no brahma, absolute reality is non-existent, if a says, and he in fact, he becomes non-existent himself. Therefore, Vedyatvam Mabhut doesn't need to be known. The very known is the proof for the knower being there, and that knower is the truth. And this truth, obtaining as the knower, is ever self-evident. Reality implied by the term Atma. Okay. And we also saw 26th verse. Ki druk tarihi ti chet pruchet I druk ta nasti tatrahi yadani drukata drukcha Tatswarupam vinischinu. I think we stopped here in the last class. So, idrik tadrik. Idrik means idrisham, tadrik means tadrisham, which means this type or that type. So these expressions such as this type or that type, etc., can be used to denote, to describe, to talk about only the objects perceptible, objectifiable objects. And these expressions cannot be used to mean Atma, because Atma is not of any type. Atma is not like this type or that type, or not something which can be described as this type and that type, because Atma is not an object. It is the Atma which alone can see what is of this type and what is of that type, etc. But Atma by itself is not denotable by any word and cannot be described like any other object in the world as this type and that type, etc. Therefore, it is anidrik atadrik. Anidrik atadrik means Atma is not something which can be described as this type of object. Atma is something which can be described as that type of object. Because Atma is not an object at all. And an object of knowledge can be described, explained as this type and that type, etc. But with subject, the reality implied by the term Atma and Brahma, obtaining as very surupam of the knower, experiencer, subject cannot be described as that type and this type, etc. Because it is not an object. In fact, here, always, I remember, Swamiji used to tell in his classes, you know, when we take the pronouns, whenever we have this pronoun in English to mean, to indicate somebody who is far from you, you can use that person, or you can say he. And this person, you can use eshaha, saha, ayam, etc. He. And you can use, say, to mean somebody, she. You can also use it and that. All these pronouns. Imagine if there's so many, suppose there are many men, and you can show one by one that person, that person, that person, that person. And you say, actually all of them together can be denoted by one word, they. So the plural is possible, isn't it? Similarly, she, you can say, you know, she is so-and-so, she is so-and-so, she is. You denote every one person as she and that person, but all of them can be denoted by one word, they. It means plural form of other pronouns is possible. But if you take this first person singular pronoun, I, you know, even though in English language we say there is a pronoun, plural pronoun called we, still I, and other person can say I, other person can say I, other person can say I, but we actually is not the plural form of I. You have to think about it. I can say, I can show another person and say that person. I can say one by one, all of them, I can say one person, I can say they, he and they. I can say she and they. But not, now one person can say we. I can say. To say we, it is not possible. Actually, there's no plural form of I. Okay, for transaction purpose, we use I and we. Why? Because I, the first person singular pronoun, you know, is a unique pronoun. You know, the plural number, we, actually is not the plural form of I, even though it is used. Anyway, we'll, it's for you to think, okay? I'll come back to you later on. Therefore, yeah, anidrik atadrik means the absolute reality implied by the term Atma is not an object which can be described or discussed as something which is like that object or this object, etc. It is not like anything else which can be said to be that type, this type, etc. Okay, we move on to the next verse, 27th verse, which is today's, the first verse. Akshanam vishayat, vishayas. Akshanam. Vishayastu idruk parokshastadrukuchyate uchyate vishayinaksha vishayaha svatvannasya parokshata.
Parokshata.
Okay. Akshanam vishayastu idruk parokshastadruguchete vishayinaksha vishayaha svatvannasya parokshata. It must be uchete. Not uchyate, uchyate. See, akshanam vishayaha tu idrik parokshaha tadrik uchyate. See, uchyate is said. What is said? Vishayaha. Vishayaha, parokshaha vishayaha, idrik tadrik uchyate. Akshanam vishayaha. Idrik tadrik uchyate. Parokshaha tadrik idrik uchyate. See, parokshaha vishayaha. Parokshaha vishayaha. We can also include one more vishaya, pratyakshaha vishayaha. First of all, what is akshaha vishayaha? Aksham means a sense organ. Akshi means eye. Only one sense power is called akshi, the seeing power. But aksham means any sense power. Be careful. Akshi means only one sense power called power of seeing. But aksham means any sense power. So you can say pancha akshani. Pancha indriyani, pancha akshani. And akshanam vishayaha means the objects of sense organs, the objects of perception, any object available through sense perception, thereby available for objectification. So vishayaha itself means an object. Akshanam vishayaha, the object available for perception, objectification through the senses. Or, you can say what now? Vishayaha. And this vishaya can be what? It can be paroksha vishayaha, or it can be an aparoksha vishayaha also. It can be a paroksha vishayaha. It can be an aparoksha vishayaha. So what is paroksha vishayaha? Paroksha vishayaha. Object can be paroksha vishayaha or pratyaksha vishayaha. Paroksha vishayaha or pratyaksha vishayaha. So an object which can be perceived directly through sense organs, which is available for perception within the range of the sense organs, is called pratyaksha vishayaha. even though you're all very far, far, far from me, but still you're all pratyaksha vishayaha for me. All your forms are pratyaksha vishayaha. I am directly perceiving all of you through laptop directly. Pratyaksha vishayaha. So, an object which is available for perception, obtaining within the range of the sense organs, is called pratyaksha vishayaha. Akshanam pratyaksha vishayaha. But there are objects of knowledge available for objectification, but not available directly within the realm, within the reach of the sense powers, but which are very far, not being available within the reach of the sense organs, which are remote. Himalayas, Bahamas, Australian kangaroo. Objects are there, but not available within the reach of, within the reach, within the range of my sense organs. There are also objects, they are paroksha vishayaha. So the remote objects, objects which are far from me, which are objects of my knowledge. I do know them, I do understand them. I have knowledge of those objects, but they are not within the reach of my range of my sense organs. They are called paroksha vishayaha. Paroksha vishayaha. But pratyaksha vishayaha means objects which are within the reach, range of the sense organs are called pratyaksha vishayaha. We call them direct objects and indirect objects. Not grammatically direct indirect objects. You know, pratyaksha vishayaha, paroksha vishayaha. So, akshanam vishayaha. Such objects which are available for objectification, perception, obtaining within the range, reach of the sense organs or pratyaksha alone can be described, explained as idrika, tadrika, this type and that type, etc. Whereas, it is said, akshanam vishayaha tu vishayastu yidrik parokshaha tadrug uchyate. Uchyate. That alone is said to be yidrik tadrug. What is pratyaksha vishayaha? Whereas, it is said, vishayi na aksha vishayaha. Vishayi na aksha vishayaha. Vishayi na aksha vishayaha. So, vishayaha is object of knowledge. Vishayi is the one who objectifies. The subject of knowledge is called Vishayi. Object of knowledge is Vishayaha. Vishayi, Vishayaha. Vishayin is a nakarantaha, pullingaha, Vishayin shabdaha. In nominative, Vishayi. Means the subject of knowledge is Vishayi. The one who objectifies is Vishayi. The object is Vishayaha. So, an object which is available for direct perception, obtaining within the reach of the sense organs, alone can be said to be this type, that type, etc. Even otherwise, if the object is not pratyakshaha but parokshaha, then also can be said to be this type or that type, etc. Whereas vishayi na aksha vishayaha, the subject of knowledge, the experiencer, the knower, is not the known, not the knowable, not an object of perception. The operator of the sense organs is not the object perceptible through sense organs. Vishayi is the one who operates the akshani. Operator of the indriyas, indriyani, cannot become the object of sense organs, object of perception. Vishayi na aksha vishayaha. So the knower is not an object of perception, not an object perceptible through sense organs. Why? Because svatvati asya parokshata na. Svatvati asya parokshata na. Why the knower is not available for objectification as an object? Because svatvat, svatvam, sva means own, one's own, and svatvam means having the status of being by its own, being by itself. The absolute reality, the ultimate truth implied by the term Atma has the status of being by itself, by its own, being the self. Svatvati, tanittirikkindra tanmayinal, because of its nature. Why is it by itself? Because of its nature of being by itself, being by its own, independently, that's the nature of the reality. It is never the object of knowledge. Svatvat asya parokshata nasti. It means it does not have, parokshata means having the status of being an object which is not within the reach of sense organs, or within the range of sense organs, which means being a remote object. Parokshata nasti means the reality does not have parokshata. Does not have parokshata means reality is not an object which is, you know, remote. It is not pratyaksha vishaya, nor is it paroksha vishaya. Not a pratyaksha vishaya, not a paroksha vishaya. Why? It is not a vishaya at all. It is not an object. Obtaining within the range of your sense organs, it is not an object, remote object, which is not within the range of the sense objects, sense organs. Then what is it then? It is not the vishaya at all. It is not an object at all. Then what is it? It is vishayi. It is the very subject of knowledge. It is very knower. And why it has no parokshata? Why it doesn't have the status of being an object? Why it doesn't have the status of being an object, at least, no, which is not within the range of the sense organs? because of its nature of being by itself. Because it enjoys the nature, the status of being by itself independently. Svatvate asya parokshata nasti. For something to have the parokshata, it must have the dependence. Parokshata means it must become the known. For something to be an object, it must have dependence, which means it must be dependent on another perceiver, knower, to become the known. Only then an object can be said to be an object. Having the status of being an object means being dependent. Being dependent means being dependent on the knower to become the known. Whereas, Vishayi, the subject does not have the dependence. Subject is not dependent on the known for it to become the known. Subject is not dependent on the knower also to become the known. Why? Because subject is the knower. The reality is, the knower is reality itself. It is self-dependent, self-existent. So, svatvat, because of its nature of being existent by itself, because of its nature of being by its own, by itself, because of its status of being the very self, it has no parokshata. It means it does not have parokshata, does not have the status of being the remote object, which means it is not a remote object also. Sometimes, no, we may get confused. Okay, I don't see it through physical eyes. Then, by some practicing some meditation, I can find out as Atma something, you know, paroksha vishaya. No, not paroksha vishaya also. No, pratyaksha vishaya, not a paroksha vishaya, not a vishaya at all. It's very vishayi is Atma. Vishayinaha swarupam Atma. Vishayi rupena Atma eva asti. Atma is in the form of the very knower. Atma is the swarupam of the vishayi, the knower. For what Vidyaranya Swami says here, please read the verse again. Akshanam vishayastu idrik parokshaha tadrik uchyate. Vishayi naksha vishayaha svatvan nasya parokshata. So Vidyaranya Swami here makes it clear. Idrik means something is like this. This type. Tadrik means something is like that. Like an object, when an object alone can be compared to something and can be explained as this type, that type, etc. And especially that object, if the object is within the range of the sense organs, we call it pratyaksha vishayaha. If it is not in the range of the sense organs, we call it a paroksha vishayaha. Anyway, vishayaha is object. Whereas, Atma being not a vishaya at all, Atma is neither an object available for perception directly or indirectly as a remote object at all. Atma being the very vishayi, the subject, the knower of everything, Atma is not an object of perception. Na aksha vishayaha. And because Atma, Atma being the very knower is not an object of perception directly, nor is it a remote object because of its nature of being self-existent. Svatvati na asya parokshata. If it doesn't have parokshata or pratyakshata, so Atma doesn't have parokshata, nor does it have pratyakshata. It doesn't have the status of being an object knowable directly or indirectly, which means what does it have then? Atma has aparokshata. Atma has aparokshatvam. Aparokshatvam. No, Atma does not have pratyakshata or parokshata. Atma does not have the status of being the object knowable directly or indirectly as a remote object. But Atma has aparokshata. See, by slip of a tongue, I might have said something differently. Please note carefully, I'm repeating it again to for my own confirmation. Atma has neither pratyakshata nor parokshata. Pratyakshatvam or parokshatvam. Which means Atma is not an object available for objectification directly or indirectly. Why Atma has aparokshatvam. Aparokshata, aparokshatvam means Atma does not has status of being an object at all. Atma is available for knowledge, recognition as the very swarupam of the immediate self. Aparoksha means it is not an object at all. As the very self. Now here the question may come, what does it mean? Atma, the known, being the known, itself the proof for the knower being there. Known, being the known, is the proof for the knower being there. There is no other evidence is required. Therefore, Atma is aparokshaha, aparoksha atma. Atma is ever aparokshaha. What does it mean? When you say atma is aparokshaha, means atma is not aksha vishayaha. Not pratyaksha vishayaha, not paroksha vishayaha. Paroksha is that which is not within the range of the sense organs, a remote thing. Pratyaksha means that which is within the range of the sense organs. So it is not aksha vishayaha at all, not pratyaksha vishayaha, not paroksha vishayaha. It is not vishayaha at all, not object at all. It is aparokshaha. Aparokshaha is vishayi. Vishayi is aparokshaha. Vishayaha is pratyakshaha or parokshaha. Is it clear? Now, atma is what? Aparoksha atma. Means it is being the very subject, knower. It is never an object of knowledge. Therefore, you say, in fact, nothing is aparoksha except Atma. Atma alone, Atma is the only aparokshaha. There is no equivalent word. The immediate self, which objectifies everything by its mere presence, by its swarupam, and which is never objectified by anything, is aparokshaha. Aparoksham Brahma, aparoksha Atma. Therefore, aparoksha Jnanam means swaswarupa Jnanam. the knowledge of one's own real nature, the knowledge of the swarupam of the knower is aparoksha jnanam. So paroksha jnanam, pratyaksha jnanam is aparam jnanam. Aparoksha jnanam is param jnanam. What is absolute knowledge? Aparoksha jnanam is knowledge of the knower is param jnanam, absolute knowledge. Knowledge of the known, whether it is known as pratyaksham or paroksham, it is aparavidya. Therefore, there is no such a thing called knowledge of the Atma as an object at all. Next verse. Avedyopyaparokshotah. I'm repeating the verse. Very interesting, beautiful verses. Avedyopyaparokshotah swaprakasho bhavatyayam. Swaprakasho bhavatyayam. Satyam jnanamanantam cheti. Satyam jnanamanantam cheti. Astiha brahma lakshanam. Satyam jnanamanantam cheti. Astiha brahma lakshanam. Avedyopyaparokshotah swaprakasho bhavatyayam. Satyam jnanamanantam cheti. Astiha brahma lakshanam. Now, having made it very clear that Atma, the only all-pervasive absolute reality, is never an object at all, means it is not a pratyaksha, directly perceptible object, or indirectly knowable object as the remote one, but it is the very knower, the very swarupam of the knower, the Atma. It is Atma is ever aparokshaha. Aparokshaha means not an object perceptible through perceptible, knowable directly or indirectly. Which means the very knower, obtaining as the knower is aparokshaha. Now, what is that aparokshaha? What is that Atma which is never an object known directly or indirectly, directly through senses or indirectly as a remote object? What is that Atma which is ever aparokshaha? What is aparokshaha? Which is the ever knower, never knowable Atma. What is that? It is said here, avedyaha api aparokshaha. Avedyaha api aparokshaha. Atma is non-knowable, not known. Avedyaha means not knowable. Not knowable means not knowable as direct object or as a remote object. Not knowable. Not an object. Even though Atma is not knowable, as a direct object or an indirect remote object. Aparokshaha. Aparokshaha means Atma is Aparokshaha means Atma is the very knower of any object, a direct object or remote object, directly perceptible object or a remote object. The knower of all forms of objects is Aparokshaha, who is never an object. And is Aparokshaha, Aparokshaha. Therefore, and what is the proof for the Atma? The knower is Aparokshaha. Knower is always there. The knower need not be proved. There's no need for us to prove the existence of the knower. The existence of the known itself is the proof for the existence of the knower. Okay? The existence of the known is the proof for the existence of the knower. Therefore, avedyaha api aparokshaha. Even though it is ever unknowable, it is there as the very knower, aparokshaha. Which means, Atma being the very aparokshaha, the knower, non-objectifiable knower, non-object knower, the subject, okay, non-object, non-objectifiable knower of everything, aparokshaha. There's no need for anyone to know the Atma. No, in the sense, there's no need. Need for means what? Atma need not be known in the sense. Atma need not be known as an object. Atma need not be known means Atma need not be known as an object. Because it is the very self-evident knower I. The self-revealing, self-evident subject of knowledge, the knower I am. And this Atma is always available for experience in terms of I am. This knowledge of the existence of the self obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am is ever available for experience. I am is ever available for experience. And this, without being objectified, it is available for experience. How do we understand this? If we analyze the three states of experience, we only see Atma is ever available for experience as I. Is ever available for experience as I. Non. Endru eppodum irundhu kondirikkirathu. It's always available for experience as I. Without being objectified. To understand this, if we analyze the three, if we take the analysis of three states of experience, we know very well there's no fourth state of experience. There are only three states of experience. And in each and every state of experience, there is I. the Jagrat Avastha is possible, you know, there I am in the Jagrat Avastha. In dream, I am. In sleep, also I am. In all the three avastas, I am. I am means I the knower am. I the knower am in all the three states of experience. I the experiencer am in all the three states of experience. Please, without feeling tired or bored, please listen. It is really giving the vision. You have to see what is being seen. You know, in all the three states of experience, Trishtisrushu Avastasu, I am as the knower, as experiencer. In every state of experience, I am there as an experiencer. It is subjective experience. And without being objectified. So, the Upanishads uniformly explain that all the instruments of perception, all the means of knowledge are actually made in such a way that they can only reveal the objects, the only objects which form this objective universe. All the sense organs, all the instruments of perception, instruments of knowledge are made in such a way that they are designed in such a way that they can serve as instruments of objects of the objective universe. Which means the knower is never an object of knowledge. Therefore, the non-knowable, unknowable is the knower, and the unknowability of the knower alone is implied by the word aparokshaha. Atma is ever aparokshaha, means Atma is ever there as an unknowable knower. The knowable is the known, unknowable is the knower. So the unknowable knower is aparokshaha. Atma is aparokshaha. And because it is unknowable, aparokshaha, it is not an object, so we cannot say Atma is not there. In fact, we need not know the Atma as an object to prove the existence of the Atma. The very knower, Atma being the knower itself is the proof. The known being, the known is the proof for the knower being there. Therefore, the knower, be Atma having the status of being the knower of the known itself is the proof for its existence. It need not be specially known as an object. Ataha, no, avedyaha api aparokshaha. Now, ataha swaprakasho bhavatyayam. And I am Atma swaprakashaha bhavati. I am swaprakashaha bhavati. Swaprakashaha means it is ever self-revealing, self-effulgent and self-evident. you know, self-evident. There's never a time Atma is not. It's going to be explained in the following verse. So don't worry. Never a time the knower is not. There's never a time the experiencer is not. Because in every state of experience, the states of experience change. The objects of experience change. But the experiencer is there changelessly in all the three states of experience. Therefore, in changing states of experience, in changing objects of experience, what is changelessly there in all the three states of experience is the experiencer, the unchanging, changeless, only experiencer of all these three sets of experience is never an object of experience. Is that experiencer is Atma. And therefore, it is said, next sentence, Soprakashaha, because I've already understood many times, you know, aham, to know I am, we don't need a pramanam. Isn't it? What pramanam do we need to know I am? You are the only proof for your own existence. You know you are means there is no pramanam required. If it is self, Atma is ever self-evident. It's always available as I am in every set of experience. What is being said here will become clearer in the following verse. Next. Satyam jnanam anantam cha iti asti iha brahma lakshanam. Now Vidyanaya Swami presents the definition of Brahman given in Taittiriya Upanishad. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. So what is that Brahman? Satyam jnanam anantam. Cha iti cheti asti iha brahma lakshanam. Here is the definition of Brahman. With these three words, satyam, jnanam, anantam, and each word reveals Brahman in terms of its given nature. Every word reveals Brahman in terms of its nature. So satyam means existence. And jnanam, pure knowledge or consciousness. Anantam, limitlessness. How this reality is, if anybody asks, you have to define the reality. In fact, non-definable reality is anirvachaniyam. Anirvachaniyam Brahma. It is anirvachaniya maya, anirvachaniyam Brahma. It is non-definable. Because all the definitions are expressions of manifestation of knowledge. And Brahman is really non-definable. But still Upanishad presents a definition of Brahman. And that definition consists of words, and those words do not reveal the Brahman directly, but they reveal Brahman in terms of its nature, through implication. No? It's a, through implication. Swarupa Lakshanam. Definition, Lakshanam means definition. No, it is a Swarupa Lakshanam. Swarupa Lakshanam means the definition consists of words which reveal Brahman in terms of its nature. And then, which means that Brahma Lakshanam, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma means I am that Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi. I am that Brahman. So I am the knower, ever unknowable, ever knowing, ever unknowable aparoksha atma aham, and that aparoksha atma, the knower atma, ever aparoksha atma, ever non-knowable atma, unknowable atma, the knower atma is what? Brahma. Am Brahma asmi. I, the knower, am the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma in terms of its nature of satyam, jnanam and anantam. So Brahma Lakshanam. So Brahma Lakshana means it is Swarupa Lakshanam, one's own, the definition of one's own real nature, one's own self. So what is given Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahmanandavalli as a Brahma Lakshanam, as definition of Brahman, is actually definition of one's own self. And definition of one's own self reveals one's own self in terms of one's own nature. Okay, satyam, existence. In what form does reality obtain? Reality is in the form of existence of everything. Existence enjoyed by everything in the world. And that reality obtaining in the form of existence of everything, existence enjoyed by everything, is available for recognition only in terms of its nature of knowing. Therefore, it is jnanam. In fact, only when you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing as pure knowledge, then alone you can understand how it is this reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge alone is the form of existence of everything. And this reality, the aparoksha atma, ever unknowable, ever knower reality, obtaining as the ever knower reality, is of the nature of pure knowledge, arrived at us in terms of its nature of knowing, and there be understood in terms of its nature of being the existence of everything. And this reality is ever of the nature of limitlessness because of its beginninglessness and endlessness. It is time-wise limitless. And because of its lending existence to everything, it is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, it is spatially limitless. And it is ever of the nature of, it is free from all object limitations because it is the reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, which alone lends existence to all the forms, names and functions, pervades every object. Therefore, it is free from object limitation. Therefore, it is of the nature of limitlessness. It is the, therefore, this aparoksha atma, the knower self alone, is Brahma, the absolute reality of the term Brahma. Therefore, the Swarupam Brahma Lakshanam is Swaswarupa Lakshanam. You understand Brahma Lakshanam, the nature of the reality is actually nature of one's own self, because reality is there as one's own self, as the very knower. Okay. Satyam jnanam anantam chaiti iha Brahma Lakshanam. Therefore, when you understand the Brahma Lakshanam, it is not for us to see Brahman as an object. Okay? Brahma Lakshanam should be understood as one's own Lakshanam. Atma Lakshanam, Swaswarupa Lakshanam, definition of the reality is definition of one's own real nature, one's own self. So please understand this word, Swaswarupa Lakshanam. Swaswarupam, what is your real nature? The Shastram tells every one of us, your Swarupam, your real nature, what you are essentially, is given as essential nature of the reality of the whole, implied with the term Brahma. Therefore, And what is that which is of the nature of existence, consciousness, limitlessness, nothing but the nature of the reality obtaining as the subject. Aparokshaha. Parokshaha means object. Aparokshaha means this subject. Subject means what? Which is never unknowable. Okay, we move on to the next verse now. And for us to understand that I, the knower, am Brahma, and the Swarupam of Brahman is non-different from the Swarupam of myself, because I am very Brahma. And for which, definitely, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, definitely Nididhyasanam is important. After listening to the teaching, repeatedly we have to say, see the fact of the truth of I being pure knowledge. Implied is of the nature of Brahman. One has to see this. It's not enough if you understand. You have to understand first. After having understood, we really have to pay attention to what has been understood. And we do have to dwell upon this fact. Dwelling upon this fact means really we have to see how I am the formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which alone is in the form of existence of all the forms, names and functions, including time and space. And therefore, it is, I am the reality which is free from, which is of the nature of limitlessness. And Nididhyasanam, that is why Nididhyasanam is emphasized in the Shastram, for us to assimilate, ascertain what is understood through Shravanam. Next. Satyatvam Badharahityam. Satyatvam Badharahityam. Satyatvam Badharahityam. Jagad Badhaika Sakshinaha. Jagad Badhaika Sakshinaha. Badhakim Sakshiko Bruhi. Badhakim Sakshiko Bruhi. Natva Sakshika Ishyate. Natvasakshika ishyate. Badhakim sakshiko bruhi. Natvasakshika ishyate. See, Vidyaranya Swami really makes us, help us see how I, the self, am the truth, the reality. Which means, once you are able to see that I, the self, am the reality, the truth, from the standpoint of the truth, we should be able to see also the freedom. Okay, seeing oneself being the reality is in fact seeing oneself, seeing the freedom. Seeing the self is seeing the freedom. Seeing the freedom means being the very freedom, being free. Seeing the self is seeing the freedom. Seeing the freedom is being free. Being free is freedom. So, how we can see the self in the light of the Shastra teaching? And here, when you say Sat, the word Sat means existence. In Sat Chit Anandaha, the word Sat means existence. The same thing is given differently as Satyam Jnanam Anantam. That the word Satyam also means existence. But the word exists, the Swarupam of the reality in terms of existence, the nature, essential nature of reality in terms of pure existence, implied by the term Satyam, is also implied by another word, Satyam. Sat is also meant by another word, Satyam. The word Satyam has truthfulness in speech, but here the word Satyam is also meant by the word Sat, which means pure existence. And this, the word Satyam also is defined. See, first we have Satyam Jnanam Anantam. There the word Satyam is given as a word revealing the reality in terms of its nature of existence. Therefore, it is given as a definition of the reality, the Atma, Brahma, obtaining as the very aparoksha Atma, aparokshaha, ever knower, ever unknowable, ever knower Atma, aparokshaha. That definition of Atma, the knower is given, definition of the knower is given, knower Atma. But here, the word Satyam again is defined. It means the definition of Brahman has the word Satyam. And the word Satyam is again further defined in the Shastram. So what is Brahma? Satyam Jnanam Anantam. And what is Satyam? This is another definition given in the Shastram. That is Trikala Abadhitam Satyam. What is Satyam? Trikala Abadhitam Satyam. Trishu Kaleshu Abadhitam. Trikala Abadhitam Satyam. What is Satyam? That which is not negatable in three periods of time. Trikala Abadhitam. Trikala Abadhitam Satyam. Abadhyam Satyam. Abadhyam Abadhitam. That which is never negated. That which cannot be negated at all is Abadhyam. See, this Badhyam is a potential passive participle. Can be negated is called Badhyam. Which cannot be negated is Abadhyam. So in Drik Drishyaveka Prakriya, when something is seen as not being the knower, it is not the knower. Why? It is the known. When you understand something being the known, you negate it as the known, means it is not the knower. The known is not the knower. I mean, the knower is actually not the known. That is negation. But here, oh, something is not here. If you are there, something is not here when you say it is being aware of the absence of things is called negation. Being aware of the absence of anything is said to be the negation of something. Okay. Being aware of the absence of something is the negation of what is not. Like this. Abadhyam means that which cannot be negated. That which cannot be negated means that which cannot be said to be not there. That which doesn't become absent at all. That which is never absent. Abadhyam means that which is never absent. That which is never absent means that which is ever present. That which is always ever present. That which never becomes absent. Ever present, never absent. You know, that which is always is satyam. Called abadhyam. This is the meaning of the word abadhyam. Non-negative. Abadhyam. Nowhere the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, obtaining as a sorupam of the knower can never be negated. No time the knower can be negated. No place the knower can be negated. Never can the knower be negated. The knower, the subject of knowledge, am the consciousness. I, the knower, is nothing but consciousness. The knower is knowledge. The knower is consciousness. Like illuminator is light. There's no illuminator other than the light. Similarly, that there's no knower other than knowledge. There's no knower other than consciousness. Therefore, there's no experience other than consciousness, the pure knowledge. Therefore, I, the knower, the subject, is ever the consciousness. Therefore, the consciousness, the knower, the consciousness obtaining in him of knower is never negatable, never negated. Other than consciousness, obtaining as the knower, implied by the term Atma and Brahma, everything else in this world is negated. Everything can be negated. So there's Sarvam Badhyam Atma Abadhyaha. Sarvam Badhyam Atma alone is abadhyaha. Brahma abadhyam, sarvam badhyam, jagad badhyam, atma abadhyam. Brahma abadhyam, atma abadhyaha. Therefore, Brahma satyam. Which means, the universe experienced in the waking state, all the forms, names and functions which constitute the whole jagat experienced in the waking state, and the important subtle factors, time and space. I want you to understand this, the time, most intangible time factor, and the inexplicably vast space, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space, which constitute the whole, and this, all of them are, you know, which are available for experience, all of them, which are available for experience in the waking state, you know, can be easily negated. How much we experience this world, how much we enjoy this world in the waking state, but easily negatable. No badhyam. So jagrat prapanchaha badhyaha. Jagrat avasthayam, the time experienced in the waking state is negated. The space is negated, and all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space are negatable. Badhyaha. No, sarvam badhyam. I use the word sarvam. Everything is negated. How can we negate them? Because there is a time they become absent. They become absent means what? They disappear. For the world, for the time and space, for the world to disappear, for it to disappear means there's a time it is not there. The time doesn't exist, space doesn't exist, the world doesn't exist for you means it is not there. It is not there means, you know, for it not to be there for you, just I had to fall asleep. If I fall asleep, I means what here? You know, in deep sleep state, all that is experienced in the waking doesn't have the status of being existent. It means the waking, the jagrat prapancha, the waking world of objects, is not there. When it is not there, what doesn't go away is the experiencer. The experiencer obtaining in the waking state continues to be in deep sleep state, knowing the jagrat universe being not there. The knower is there. The experiencer is there, experiencing the world being not there. Therefore, it is to negate what we experience in the waking state, we just need to fall asleep. You fall asleep, then the world is not there. It means the world is negated. There's a time it is not there. So also, which means the world does not have permanent existence. The world is of the nature of coming and going. It comes and goes. That is why it is known by the term jagat. Jayate gachati iti jagat. It doesn't have sthiratvam. Doesn't have permanence. It has agamatvam. It has apayatvam. It means it arrives and it departs. It doesn't have sthiratvam. Doesn't have permanence. You know, that is why even though it is there, this world, time along with time and space, in time and space, the world is available for experience and enjoyment in the waking, still it has no permanence because it comes and goes. So the world of forms, names and functions, along with time and space, are negated. And the same way, the time and space, the world of objects experienced in dream also are negatable, or because in deep sleep state, the dream, time and space objects also are negated. Which means everything is negated in deep sleep state. Therefore, everything means the dream, time and space and the dream objects, waking time and space and waking objects, everything implies the dream world and waking world. The world experienced in dream and waking, everything is badhyam. Sarvam badhyam. Samagram jagat badhyam. And it's important for us to know that even in deep sleep state, when everything, the entire world of objects is negated along with time and space, when everything is negated, also even when the time and space, everything is negated, there is something non-negatably present. And what is that which is non-negatably present is the Sakshi. Sakshi alone is non-negatable. You cannot say it is not. What cannot be said to be not there is Sakshi, is non-negatable. What is not there is negated, negatable. What is non-negatably there is the witness. Sushupti Sakshi. Sushupti Avasthayaha Sakshi. The witness, that which witnesses, the obtaining as the witness, that which is there in Sushupti, witnessing the Sushupti, is the Vastu Abadhyam. The witness is Abadhyam. In sleep, I did not know anything. Nothing is there in sleep. If we say the one who witnesses the nothingness is Abadhyaha. The one who obtaining as the witness of the nothingness is one who, that which is there, witnessing the nothingness, is Abadhyaha. So, Badhya Sakshi is Abadhyaha. Badhyasya Sakshi. The witness of the negated is non-negatable. Witness of the negated is non-negatable. Abadhyaha. And that Abadhyam is Satyam. Which means the witnessed alone is the negated. The witness is never negated. So, it is said, சத்யத்வம் பாதராஹித்யம். Not being negatable is having the status of being the truth, having the status of being the existence. What is the truth? What is existence? The truth is that which is ever, which is never negated, never negatable. And the truth which is never negated and being the ever non-negatable is being the very pure existence. Therefore, Jagad Bada Eka Sakshi. See, Jagad Bada Eka Sakshi. Jagad Bada Eka Sakshinaha Satyatvam. Therefore, the Sakshi, which alone, the Sakshi, which is never negatable, which can be negated, is the only truth. Jagad Bada Eka Sakshinaha Satyatvam. So the witness can never be negated. It doesn't have negation. Therefore, it has the status of being the truth, only reality. It has the status of being the very existence. Now, Badaha Kim Sakshikaha. In fact, Jagataha, Jagad Bada Eka Sakshinaha. Eka Sakshi. So, Atma, obtained from a pure consciousness, is the only witness of the negation of the entire universe. Jagad Badha, Eka Sakshi. The entire universe is negated. The entire universe is resolved, negated. When the universe is not there, the absent, the only witness of the negation of the entire universe has no negation. Badharahityam, which means the witness does not have negation. Witness does not have negation means witness cannot be negated. Why witness cannot be negated? Because the only witness of the negation of the world cannot be negated, because there's nothing else apart from the witness is there to negate the witness. And this witness having the status of being the non-negatable is said to be satyatvam. I repeat the sentence. The witness having the status of being the non-negatable is said to be satyatvam. Said to be having the status of being the truth, the reality, or existence. So, Vidyanaya Swami makes us think in second line, how, if at all, we want to negate the witness. Simply, if at all, we want to see whether the witness can be negated. Because Jagrat Prapancha is negated, Sopna Prapancha is negated, Sopna Kala Desha are negated, Jagrat Kala Desha are negated. You know, everything is negated. Therefore, what cannot be negated is the Sakshi. The one who negates cannot be negated. The Sakshi is not negated, not negatable. Sakshi is always there. Witnessing the presence, witnessing the absence, Sakshi is there always non-negatably. Suppose if at all we want to see, we want to know whether the Sakshi is negatable. If we try, and then Vidyaranya Swami says, it's impossible to think, even to think of negating the witness. Negation of witness is impossible. Even to think, even to mention is impossible. Because negation of witness is possible only if there is an other witness. Is there must be an other witness to negate the witness. And there's which other witness is there? There's no witness. There's no other witness. Therefore, the only witness, Eka Sakshi, the only witness of the negation of the entire cosmos is ever non-negatable. Therefore, he says in the second line, let me finish it, I remember the time. Badaha kim sakshikaha bruhi natu asakshikaha ishyate. Badaha kim sakshikaha means, badaha here is negation. Badaha means negation. Kim sakshikaha means, what is the witness of the negation of the witness? What is the negation? What is the witness means? Is there anything else? Is there anything else which witnesses the negation of the witness? Is there anybody else who witnesses the negation of the witness? So, kim sakshika, kim badaha, kim sakshikaha means, who is there, who can witness the negation of the witness? Which means there is no other witness which can negate the witness. There's no other witness for this, for the negation of the witness. Iti bruhi, come on, you tell me, if at all you say the witness can be negated, then who is the other witness who can negate this witness? Tell me, that's the question. Which means this question is not a real question. It is a question to object, which means to affirm, to confirm, to ascertain, to state assertively, no, there's no other witness. The only witness is the witness of the negation of the entire universe. There's no witness, other witness who witnesses the negation of the very witness. Therefore, there's no witness to negate the witness. Therefore, it's impossible. And to say something is, there must be witness. To say something is not, also there must be witness. The presence of something, absence of something, or anything is dependent on the existence or the witness. So absence and presence of anything presupposes a witness. And a witness itself can never become absent. There cannot be non-existence or absence of witness. At all. So asakshikaha na ishyate. Asakshikaha na ishyate. Asakshikaha means there is no sakshi other than Brahma. There's no sakshi for sakshi. There's no witness who witnesses the witness. Therefore, satyam means the truth, and the truth is that which can never be negated. And the truth which can never be negated is said to be of the nature of self-existence. Therefore, non-negatable, never negatable, witness consciousness, witness knowledge is the satyam. The word satyam implies ever, never negatable, ever witnessing consciousness. The word satyam implies never negatable, ever witnessing consciousness, existence. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.